This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. This afternoon, an opportunity to think about balance, an opportunity for building a healthier life. Our guest is Dr. Edward Taub. He's a medical doctor who has developed a plan for healthy living, and I'll sum it up by quoting him. Moderation in all things, including moderation. Listeners, I welcome your telephone calls for Dr. Edward Taub, a pediatrician and family doctor for more than 35 years. He is the director of the Wellness Medicine Institute and the author of several books, including Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. The book contains the doctor's suggestions for diet and nutrition, exercise, and dealing with stress. It also includes questionnaires to help evaluate your present state of wellness and chart a course for energy rejuvenation and a healthy weight. Here are our telephone numbers, listeners. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Dr. Edward Taub's book, Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life, is available in paperback from Pocket Books. Again, those telephone numbers, 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. Dr. Taub, good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be on the air with you.
It seems like a silly question to ask a doctor, but how did you get interested in wellness?
Well, you know, I got interested in wellness in the 70s, before the word wellness was even a word. I had been taking care of about 20,000 patients, and one day I looked around at my practice and I saw that 20% of my patients were coming in to see me 80% of the time. In other words, 20% of my practice was sick 80% of the time. So I began looking at why these people were sick, and it occurred to me that they were sick for no particular reason that I could find out in general, other than it had to do with their mindset. Very often they just expected to be ill, they waited to be ill, and they anticipated to be ill, and by and large they became ill. And then when I looked at the 80% of my patients who were sick just 20% of the time, I discovered a different mindset. These were people who just had no time for illness, they didn't expect to be ill, they weren't going to be ill as far as they were concerned, and they were willing to take whatever steps they possibly could to stay well. So at this point I began calling them the worried well and the walking wounded, the people who were sick most of the time. And I determined to change my career around to spend all of my professional time keeping them well, keeping people well in the first place. And I became a wellness medical doctor as a result, and also helped found and develop and coin that word wellness.
Hmm. Your plan, your idea of good health is based on integrative medicine. What is that, integrative medicine?
Integrative medicine is a biological and psychological as well as spiritual approach to good health. Integrative medicine rests on the notion that our health is much too important to leave up to science, but it's also much too important to be unscientific about. It's also based on the notion that good spirituality and faith in a higher power, in our being connected to something greater than us, that good spirituality and faith also helps our bodies stay well. So this is why I call it integrative medicine. I founded that field, too, in 1980 when I introduced it at the National Academy of Sciences. And as I look around now and see there's over 8,000 websites on integrative medicine and hundreds of books, I'm a little dismayed to see that it's gone off in the direction that I hadn't planned. It's now seems to be a hodgepodge of all different types of holistic treatments, from old chiropractic to iridology to aromatherapy and everything in between. But that's not what integrative medicine was meant to be. I founded it to be, again, as spiritual as it is scientific, and that's my approach.
Hmm. What are the biggest stumbling blocks, do you think, to good health?
The biggest stumbling blocks to good health are that people want a quick fix, and people want to follow a plan or a strategy that's just too good to be true. And it always is too good to be true. So what I found as a family doctor and a pediatrician for these last 35 years is that the most difficult thing to do is to get people to behave in a more healthy manner. People won't behave more healthfully just because they have good information. So this is why I've devised the treatment protocol in Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. It's a treatment protocol that's meant to stimulate self-value and reverence for life, because in my experience, that's the only reason that people will change, when they feel better about themselves and when they develop a reverence for life.
Many people are overweight. Others have eating disorders that lead them to starvation. Do we have a love-hate relationship with food?
Well, yes, we do. It seems to be the common denominator in which most people are able to feel comfortable and secure and nurtured when their taste buds are being fulfilled. As a result of that, knowledge in the advertising industry that our taste buds can be programmed along with our minds, Americans are eating so much of the wrong food that about 60% of us are overweight, and the rate of obesity in children has doubled in the last 30 years. So we're going to have an epidemic of type 2 diabetes as these kids begin to grow into adults. So because of the psychological needs for food that the media and the advertising industry is able to tap into, we've literally become captivated or captive to a huge industrial food complex out there that would have us eat mostly food that's what I would call full of dead energy and empty calories, a food that's refined and processed and greasy and microwaved and radiated and genetically engineered and just dead in terms of its energy.
Your book includes a new way to think about nutrition, the food energy ladder. Tell us how it differs from the food pyramid.
Well, yes, the food energy ladder is a concept that I've developed to replace the food pyramid, because the food pyramid is by and large filled with a lot of appalling myths. For instance, the myth that cow's milk is good for us, or the myth that we need beef to be strong and healthy. What I've done is created a food energy ladder, and there's a beautiful color graphic or illustration, a full-page illustration of that in the first page of Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life, because I think a picture is worth a thousand words in this instance. The foods at the top of the food energy ladder are foods that are just loaded with natural energy that the body can extract from the foods and use that energy not only to stimulate our metabolism and build up our immunity, but also to burn our excess fat. The foods on the top of the food energy ladder are fruits and vegetables and water and beans and legumes, olive oil, nuts, avocados, whole grains, high-fiber cereals, brown rice, potatoes, dark breads. These are the foods that essentially have been kissed by the sun and nourished by the soil and drenched by the rain, and through the process of photosynthesis, they extract and incorporate the sun's energy, and when we eat those foods, then we get the sun's energy, and we use that energy again to stimulate our immunity and burn our excess fat. Now, going down the food energy ladder in terms of available energy, the next rung down is fish, and fish is fine for us a couple of times a week, especially bony fish like salmon. Just below fish is poultry, and poultry is okay too once or twice a week. But then once we get past poultry, we go down the ladder to eggs, beef, dairy products, candy, and sweets, and these are foods that drain our energy. Eggs, there's a huge protein myth that we need eggs and beef and things like that to be strong. You know, we need to look at the fact that cows, which we eat to be strong, cows don't eat other cows to be strong. They eat grains. And the strongest animals on earth, oxen and elephant, they don't eat beef or meat, they eat grains. We do not need red meat to be strong. And as far as eggs, we don't need eggs for our protein. Eggs are dead energy. They're pretty much the dead reproductive products of chicken. And as far as dairy is concerned, that's just one, it's a huge industrial scam on our minds. We are the only species, the human species is the only species that have been programmed to believe that we need the milk of another species to be strong, as if God made a mistake. And we're also the only species that drink milk past the time of weaning. Basically, what I write about in my book, Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life, is that cow's milk is a wonderful food if you happen to be a baby cow. But it is not healthy for infants and children, and it's not healthy for adults, particularly when we get past our reproductive years into our 40s and 50s and 60s, when it starts causing gas and indigestion. And there has never been a study that shows that milk in adults lessens the rate of osteoporosis.
The Dairy Council must love you.
Well, I haven't heard from them yet, but it's not just my notion. Millions of people, especially mothers, know that cow's milk will cause excess mucus in their kids, and millions of adults, especially in their 50s and 60s, are experiencing more indigestion and flatulence and gas after when they start drinking cow's milk. You know, when a good part of Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life, my book, is based on the human life cycle, and we're under the sway of a life cycle, just like all living things. And what happens with humans, up till about the age of 35, our reproductive years, you know, our bodies can take a lot of insults, and we still rock and roll because all the body wants to do is reproduce itself, send its DNA out to the future. But when we get into our mid-30s and 40s and 50s, well, the body starts to fall apart. It's part of the nature's process, which we call entropy, which means things fall apart. So we have to take better care of ourselves when we're beyond the reproductive years. And we definitely need to drink less cow's milk, eat less eggs, and less beef, and stay high on the food energy ladder, eating more food, by the way, that just never had a face or a mother. And I'm not saying that we have to be a vegetarian. We can have fish or chicken a couple of times a week. But we do need to be aware that food has either live energy or dead energy. And people who eat more food that has more live energy tend to be more alive and more well and thinner.
Now, I can hear people out in the audience, you know, saying to themselves, well, wait a minute, on this dairy business, with low-fat dairy products and regular dairy products ranking so low on the doctor's food energy ladder, where do we turn for our need for calcium and vitamin D?
I know that's what everybody says. Okay. So first of all, the best sources of calcium are the natural sources of calcium. That's the vegetables and the fruits that grow from the ground. Besides the green vegetables, potatoes are wonderful sources of calcium because they extract it from the soil. And this is the type of calcium that is much more easily assimilated by our body and stays in our bones much longer than the type of calcium that we get from cow's milk. I'm just thinking in China, in the Orient, where cow's milk is almost a taboo for adults. They just don't drink it. The concept would be nauseating to them. There's virtually no osteoporosis in China, in those billions of people. There's not even a word in the Chinese medical lexicon for osteoporosis. And the reason they don't have it is because they're eating lots of green vegetables and they're also very active. For vitamin D, and that's a very good question too, you know, the most natural source of vitamin D is the sunshine. And unfortunately, because of the difficulties we're having with melanoma and skin cancer now, of course, we're out in the sun less and we're using sun lotions or sunblock. So about 50% of Americans past the age of 60 tend to be vitamin D deficient. That's why I've included an entire section in my book on nutritional supplements, because even if we eat very, very well, it's highly unlikely we're going to get the amount of vitamins and minerals that we need, particularly because science has now shown that the right amount of vitamins and minerals and supplements can actually help reduce the risk of coronary artery disease and stroke and osteoporosis and cataracts and even cancer. So to answer your question, the best source of calcium is fruits and vegetables that have been nourished by the soil, and the best source of vitamin D is sunshine as well as nutritional supplements.
Mm-hmm. What's reasonable in terms of dietary supplements? Because we've also heard concerns just last week, reports that these things can be toxic.
That's correct. What's reasonable in terms of dietary supplements is a whole science in and of itself. And unfortunately, the whole industry out there is just marked by marketing and hype and nonsense. It's so important to be taking the right ingredients and the right dosages and in the right balances, because if you don't have them balanced correctly, for instance, calcium with magnesium or copper with zinc, they tend to cancel out the positive or beneficial effects of each other. And again, that's why I've included the entire chapter on nutritional supplements and balance your body, balance your life. But basically what I recommend is vitamin A, not more than 5,000 international units a day, along with beta-carotene, another 5,000 international units. The vitamin Bs, B1, 2, and 6, I recommend 20 milligrams a day. Vitamin B12, I recommend between 100 and 1,000 micrograms. That increases with age. Folic acid, definitely 400 micrograms, especially for women. Vitamin C, I recommend 750 milligrams. Vitamin D, 400 to 600 to even 800 international units as we get older. Vitamin E, 400 international units. I recommend selenium, 200 micrograms a day, because that amount has been associated in a huge study with almost a 40% decrease in the five most common types of cancer. But at any rate, the list can go on, and it's all explained in the book in the vitamin and mineral chapter, which is very, very important because vitamins and minerals can be very, very beneficial to us, but it's important that we take the right amounts, right dosage, and right balances.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Edward Taub. He's a medical doctor who's developed a plan for healthful living, and that's what we're talking about here this afternoon. It's included in his book, Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. Dr. Taub is a pediatrician and family doctor. He's been in practice for more than 35 years. He's the director of the Wellness Medicine Institute and the author of several books, including Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I welcome your telephone calls this afternoon. Questions and comments for our guest are welcome. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455 is our telephone number. Anywhere else you're listening, call toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Let's talk with a listener who's waiting for us on the toll-free line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was going to ask about two items. I sort of came in on the end of some major media coverage of some new stuff about glucosamine and affecting deteriorating joints and that sort of thing, arthritis. And I was wondering whether you could, you can probably do a much better job of that. I was thinking particularly about what natural sources of that are. As you mentioned, they're probably more assimilable. Sure. And the other thing was, can you run over the stuff about omega fatty acids, as long as you're in the dietary part of things? And I'm going to have to hang up and listen off the air.
Okay.
Okay, glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate is an interesting preparation. I have been personally and professionally skeptical about it for the last 10 years, even though it's been in wide use in Europe for osteoarthritis. Physicians are prescribing it for that purpose. I had been skeptical until I did my own research last year, and I polled about 30 rheumatologists and found that of the 30, about 26 of them were recommending it to their patients to help the pain of the pain in joints that comes with osteoarthritis, or just the normal pain and discomfort and lack of mobility that comes with age. So then I did a literature research, and I found that indeed there is sufficient literature to indicate that glucosamine and chondroitin in the right proportions and in the right balance can help improve joint comfort, can help repair joint cartilage, and can help reduce some of the aches and pains associated with aging. Glucosamine and chondroitin should not be, it's not a drug, it's a natural product. Mostly it comes from seashells. It should not be looked at as a cure for osteoarthritis because it's not. And it doesn't help some people, but the good thing about chondroitin and glucosamine is that for those people who it does help, it can literally be a godsend. The correct dosage for it is 1,500 milligrams of glucosamine combined with 1,200 milligrams of chondroitin. Studies have shown that, although this is the right proportion, that almost half of the major brands out there in the marketplace do not have the amount of chondroitin that they say they do on the label, and the author of some of the studies has suggested that may be because chondroitin is 400% more expensive than glucosamine. So, at any rate, it is certainly worth a trial for those people that it does help. It works wonderfully. but it should not be looked at as a drug. It doesn't cure arthritis. It's not even a pain reliever like aspirin. What it does do is help build joint mobility and keep the joints lubricated. And I should mention, by the way, so that there's no seeming conflict of interest, that I have my own glucosamine chondroitin sulfate preparation called Nature's Code, which is available only on QVC. I just wanted to make that clear and to, again, back that up with the research. Now, as far as the omega-3s, fascinating work emerging in the medical literature about fish oils in terms of its ability to help reduce the risk of coronary vascular disease. Omega-3s are highly available in its natural form in bony fish, sardines, salmon. It's also available in flaxseed oil, and it certainly is going to be a popular product in capsules over the next few years. And just look for those capsules and make sure that you're getting a good brand with the right amount of omega-3s, which right now is looking like it's going to be somewhere between 800 and 1,200 milligrams.
Okay. Let's talk with another listener. This one on line one. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been reading books about fasting for a while now, and I'm actually at the end of a four-day fast, which I'm just now finding out is a juice fast. And I was reading there's a big difference between water fast, juice fast. I was wondering what you think about fasting, colonics in particular, which I haven't tried yet. I've been considering.
Well, that's a great question. I think fasting is occasionally is good for the body and soul. I think it's just a good opportunity to get rid of the toxins that are in the body. I don't necessarily prescribe it for my patients, and I don't necessarily do it for myself, but a day-long or a few-day fast is fine every once in a while. Certainly couldn't hurt, and I know a lot of people feel better from it. As far as the issue of colonics, I've got to say that it controverts everything that I was ever taught about in medical school.
Uh-huh.
But the people who give colonics do give a good reason. They say, well, gosh, there must be decades of accretions in our colon that hopefully can be washed out. Myself, I haven't succumbed to it yet and probably won't, but if it's done by a skillful practitioner, it might make you feel better.
And then my other question in terms of raw foods, when you're talking about empty energy, are you talking about foods that have been processed or cooked and so the enzymes are destroyed, or what do you mean exactly by that?
Well, the best energy, of course, the most available energy, will come from raw foods, salads, for instance, or raw vegetables or fruit in its natural state. Because of the society that we live in, it's highly unlikely that most people are going to eat raw food, although that would obviously be the best from a health and natural standpoint. In terms of energy, the way I describe it in Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life is, again, that the foods that are kissed by the sun and drenched by the rain and nourished by the soil are going to have most of the live energy, and this is essentially food that never had a face or a mother.
All right, thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For the call this afternoon. Other telephone calls are welcome in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. Dr. Edward Taub is our guest this afternoon, the author of Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. Well, back to the food energy ladder for just a moment more here, at least on my part. Maybe if we have listeners who want to call in and ask further questions about that, that's fine. But you rank very highly olive oil, nuts, and avocados. Now, these are food items that we've been told are good for us, but only in small amounts. Why do you rank olive oil, nuts, and avocados so highly? And what's reasonable in terms of you know, servings and whatnot?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first of all, the motto of the food energy ladder, as you see on the bottom of the illustration there, it says everything in moderation, including moderation. So that means, you know, we don't need to be having two or three avocados or handful upon handful of nuts every day or glasses of olive oil. However, having said that, olive oil and nuts and avocados are very healthy for us. The fat in avocado and the fat in olive oil and the fat in nuts is not the same as the fat that you would get, let's say, in a piece of steak or in a piece of bacon. They may have the same molecular structure, but one is full of live energy and one is dead. That's why if you take an olive pit and you put it in the ground, it grows into an olive tree. If you take a piece of steak and put it in the ground, it just sits there and rots. So it may be the same chemical structure, but one is full of nature's energy. So having said that, a handful of nuts is fine every day. Actually, it's been shown to be associated with a decrease in coronary vascular disease. Olive oil or canola oil, too, sprinkled on salads or used to cook foods during a normal day. It apparently has an effect that decreases the incidence of cardiovascular disease, particularly atherosclerosis. And avocados, to me, I think they're just wonderful, just mashed and spread on bread, or whole wheat bread, or just put on some healthy crackers. To me, it's a wonderful snack, and it's a part of the benefits of living out here in California, too.
Let's talk with some more listeners. Next, we go to go back to the toll-free line, a caller on line 4. Good afternoon.
Doctor, I take Fosamax for my
yes.
bones,
yes.
osteoporosis.
Yes.
Am I really helping my bones?
Wow. You take Fosamax for your osteoporosis, which is a wonderful drug. No question about that in terms of its efficacy and benefits for people. And, you know, this is really a time for you to insist on being a partner with your physician and query your physician as to exactly why he or she wants to have you on it, and question your physician as to whether he or she thinks that just by taking, let's say, 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day, along with 500 milligrams of magnesium and 600 to 800 international units of vitamin D, along with boron, you might ask your physician whether he or she thinks that you would just do just as well, especially if with those supplements you were also keeping yourself active, doing some brisk walking three or four times a week, and especially doing some strength training. In my book, Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life, there's a beautifully illustrated chapter of some easy strength training exercises that you can do 10 minutes 3 days a week with just two set of dumbbells that you can buy for your house. Strength training is the most important thing that you can do to keep the calcium in your bones and to strengthen the density of your bones. So beyond that, for heaven's sakes, don't stop your Fosamax until you check with your physician about why.
Prempro, all right, too?
Prempro?
Yes, I'm all
yes,
right.
Of course. Hormone replacement therapy is often very, very effective as well for helping maintain the density of your bones. But again, besides the Prempro and the Fosamax, what you can do for yourself is so important. And again, it's the right nutritional supplements and the right amount of exercise, particularly strength training.
My lifestyle, then.
It's all about lifestyle.
And I'll order some of your
I beg your pardon?
And I'll be glad to order some of your capsules.
Okay, you can call QVC for Nature's Code or go
yes.
or log on to IQVC. But again, this is not a my purpose is not to promote Nature's Code. My purpose is to get people to understand, such as yourself, that you really and truly can help determine your own health destiny far beyond what you're usually taught. But in order to improve your health destiny, you have to take more personal responsibility for yourself, the personal responsibility that comes with eating high off the food energy ladder and exercising and taking your vitamins and minerals. And there's a couple of other notions that I talk about in Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. And I'm sure you have no problem with these notions, but one, I ask people to make sure that their ethical kind, decent, charitable, truthful human beings, because that increases our self-esteem so much. And I also ask people to try to love at least one person unconditionally in their life, just to round out their sense of self-esteem and reverence for life. So there you have it. Do everything you possibly can do for yourself. Become a partner with your physician, and then sit down with your physician and see whether indeed you still need to stay on the Fosamax.
And we have an organic farm.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Gosh, I'd like to come and visit you.
I would like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's go on to another listener who's waiting for us on line one. Hello.
Oh, hello. Is it possible to get all your nutrients without additional supplements, just from food, which I would think would be a better way of getting it than from pills?
That's a great question. And I wish I could say yes, that you could get all your nutrients from food. But it's very, very unlikely. Look, vitamins and minerals are essential for your life. I mean, you couldn't exist for a moment without the right amounts of vitamins and minerals. But your body doesn't manufacture them except for teeny amounts of vitamin B12 and some amounts of vitamin D, which you get from the sunshine. Otherwise, you have to get your vitamins and minerals from the food that you eat or the nutritional supplements that you take. But even if you eat very, 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 very well, it's highly unlikely that you'll get the amount of vitamins and minerals that science now shows can reduce your risk of coronary vascular disease and osteoporosis and cataracts and strokes and cancer. We used to think that the proper use of vitamins and minerals of the supplements was just to prevent diseases like scurvy and rickets and beriberi and pellagra. But people don't hardly have those deficiency diseases anymore. So the whole science of vitamins and minerals is way beyond deficiency. It's actually now about prevention of disease. So that's why I suggest that you do take a good, balanced, comprehensive multivitamin and mineral supplement. And I also urge you to read the section in my book on vitamins and minerals so that you don't make your own concoction and waste your time and money.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are welcome. Questions, comments, they're welcome. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL, anywhere else, toll-free, 1-800-222-WILL. Dr. Edward Taub, our guest this afternoon on The Afternoon Magazine. In your book, you include some advice for parents, some do's and don'ts in regard to diet and nutrition, and you begin with this don't. It's the first thing you say. Unless your children are excessively overweight, don't worry about their weight. But what can parents do to help kids develop good eating habits?
Well, the first thing that parents can do to help their kids develop good eating habits is to make sure that they're outside playing, so that they get their metabolism all revved up and healthy. And the second thing they can do is to make sure they're drinking lots and lots of water during the day. Third thing that they can do is, for heaven's sakes, get them off of cow's milk. And the fourth thing that they can do is to not bring all of the junk and junky food into the house, all the refined, processed, dead foods. And the fifth thing that they can do, of course, is introduce children to the benefits and the great taste of vegetables and fruits and nuts and avocados and high-fiber cereals and good whole-grain breads. Children will follow the parents' attitudes, and we'll look at their parents as role models. So children are going to eat the way that their parents introduce them to eating and the way that their parents eat. So it begins at the table. And speaking of beginning at the table, it's crucial that parents insist that mealtimes be family times. This should not be times for everybody to eat while they're watching the television or running around. It's so crucial for kids to understand that food is their energy and food is their fuel, and the best food is food that comes from nature, not the factory, and the fresher the food is, the better it is. You know, we have a whole generation growing up right now thinking that you get fresh orange juice in a can of frozen juice. It's not. It's dead. And we have a whole generation not understanding that, you know, there might be some incredible health benefits of a potato, okay, that you can't find in a French fry. We've lost the concept of the fact that freshness g- gives us something special, and this is what we need to introduce kids to, and you can do that by taking kids to the market with you, especially to a farmer's market if there's any in the neighborhood, and just letting kids know that food is their fuel and food is their energy.
Mm. Let's talk with another listener on line one. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if, to get the most out of the supplements that you take, if they should be eaten in combination with certain foods, and I'll listen offline. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. The major thing about the supplements is probably they ought not to be taken with grapefruit juice because that seems to neutralize a lot of the supplements. I can't tell you exactly why because it's not exactly known. But otherwise, I don't think it makes a big deal of difference. I do recommend that you take your supplements probably right after breakfast so that you don't put it off and then by the end of the day you say forget it because it's too late at night. Speaking of the supplements, by the way, if you or your fellow listeners would like to understand what the formulas are that I recommend, and if you're not getting my book, Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life, you can log on to my website and take a look at the Nature's Code formulas. And my website is www.drtaub.com, drtaub.com. And I think you'll find a lot of answers to your questions about nutritional supplements right there.
Well, let's talk with another listener. On line one, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I have hypoglycemia. And so they tell me to snack off and on during the day, but my job as a construction worker doesn't always lend itself to walking around with food in my pockets. So I have found that I can avoid having those nasty recurrent problems with loss of energy and stuff like that by making sure, like religion, that I have a good, healthy breakfast in the morning, and that. But I'm in a rut. I usually always eat two eggs, whole wheat toast, a glass of frozen orange juice. Can you tell me something suitable as a replacement that I can not only feed myself but my kids in the morning with?
You bet. Here's what I would do.
And give me some variety if you can. Give me two or three versions.
Okay. Well. Let me tell you what I had for breakfast. Instead of a glass of frozen juice, I had a glass of fresh orange juice, which is certainly easier to get here in California than where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any fresh citrus fruits around where you are? Oranges
just,
or grapefruits, perhaps?
Yeah, well, yeah, I could get it in the grocery store.
Okay, if there were, I would get that, and I'd just get, you know, you can get one of these simple things in a hardware store, the juice squeezer. You don't have to get a fancy
yep.
one, just the thing with the bulb in the middle, and you grind them up. You grind them up, okay. Now, you can see, I think, how much more energy there would be in fresh squeezed orange juice than a can of frozen orange juice, because in that can, what they do is they squeeze the fresh juice, but then they chemicalize it and pasteurize it and boil it and freeze it and refine it and process it, and you don't know how long it's been in the can, so give me a break. The energy is gone. That's
mm-hmm.
number one. And that's energy that can help keep your blood sugar stable. The other thing now, instead of the eggs, which is really and truly dead energy, it honestly is. It's the dead reproductive products of a chicken. Now, if you can get those eggs real fresh, like laid a day or two before, get your kids to the farm, even find some, make it a family outing, that's great. So then there's some of that natural energy in it.
Okay.
But if the eggs are just regular old store-bought chicken eggs from chickens that have been fed hormones and antibiotics and never even gotten out into the sunshine, forget it as far as good energy to help stabilize your blood sugar. What I would do is substitute oatmeal or a high fiber cereal. I love oatmeal. I think it's a wonderful way to get fiber into your system, and just get some good unprocessed oatmeal. There's some wonderful Irish oatmeal out there, and there's nothing wrong with just good old-fashioned Quaker oats, but the more naturally oats are, the more energy there'll be for you to extract from it. So to make a long story short, if I were you, I would have fresh juice. I would have oatmeal or some good whole grain cereal, even Raisin Bran is fine, something like that, and some good whole wheat bread for your toast, and that ought to be plenty.
Okay.
If you need to have eggs once in a while, fine, have them once in a while, but try to get them fresh.
It seems, and I don't know where protein figures into it, and I just caught the last 10, 15 minutes of your show, but...
Protein is a man-made concept.
Okay.
there's no question that food can be broken down into sugar and protein and fat. However, this need for protein from animal sources, that's a man-made program. It's been programmed into us by a multi-billion-dollar-a-year food industry that wants us to have more animal-based food. But you can get rich sources of protein from fruit and from vegetables. And as far as I'm concerned, that will give you more protein than you can than your body can actually use. So just be sensible. Use your common sense. Think of it. You know, food is my energy. I want to take this energy in as my fuel. And if I take in energy that's if I take in fuel that's really loaded with good balanced natural energy, it will also help keep my blood sugar stabilized. That's the way that you can look at it.
Okay. All right.
Well, good luck with your breakfast.
I'm going to need it because that's probably the most important meal of my whole day.
I agree. Just make it healthy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Now, sometimes if you're squeezing the orange juice is maybe more work than you're up to on a day, you can just cut that orange into segments and go.
There you go. There you go.
And then you can save on that squeezer, I suppose.
You save on the squeezer. I kind of like this squeezer. I get there with my eyes half closed in the morning and feel I'm doing something constructive by just pressing the orange against that big bulb in that $1.50, in that thing that cost me $1.50,
yeah,
that my grandmother used to use.
And it really tastes good.
It really does taste good.
Let's talk with another listener on the toll-free line. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you. Soy has been a principal item that's been used as a complete source of food for a long time now. And yet we're beginning to hear repercussions about the effects of soy. I think in Hawaii they found a group of Asian gentlemen that were beginning to have pre-Alzheimer conditions. And we've heard of other people saying that maybe the soy should be fermented rather than in the form we're taking it. It has been so publicized as a be-all, end-all food source. I was wondering if you had any comments on soy.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a wonderful food source. I don't think you have to drown yourself in it every day, but it's a wonderful food source.
Tofu, etc.
Yeah, all of these articles that are coming out now slamming soy, I think this is coming from the same industry that wants you to drink milk and eat cow's meat and pig meat and your pastries and refined sugars and donuts. Something like soy is a huge threat to the
industry. In moderation.
Yeah. Let me explain to you. Disease repair, repairing disease in this country, and disease is largely, about 80% of our diseases are a result of our lifestyle, okay? And what I'm going to tell you here is the truth, and it's so powerful that it's almost impossible for people to hear what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it anyway because I've been saying it for 35 years. And maybe I'm getting better at it. But look, the disease repair industry in the United States is the biggest industry there is. It's $1 trillion. We spend more on repairing diseases than we do on defense. We spend more on repairing diseases in the United States than every country in the world makes combined, except for the 6 major industrialized nations. So if people in the United States were all of a sudden to get more well or experience wellness by eating well, it would bankrupt our economy, okay? It would create a huge monetary and economic depression. So what I'm trying to tell you is that it's not necessarily a conscious conspiracy out there, but the effect of it all is that the experts who are telling you about soy being bad for you are no more accurate than the experts out there who've been telling you that eggs are good for you. It has some type of an economic underpinning which is not good or healthy for Americans.
Hmm. Well, Doctor, I want to thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. I hope that last explanation was clear.
It's something to think about, isn't it? I think in your book you quote a figure that for every man, woman, and child in the United States, we spend over $3,500 a year.
Isn't that to keep right in medicine? Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when we think about it, and that's interesting that you just said, when we think about it, we have to use the thoughts that have been pre-programmed in our minds by the huge food industry out there. So it's difficult to sort everything out, and that's why I've created a very easy treatment protocol in my book. And if people will just follow this treatment protocol for a month, and there's even a 24-hour try me protocol in there, people can't lose, because what will happen at the end of that month is that a light will shine on their in their minds, and they won't have to think these things through anymore with their pre-programmed thoughts. They'll just know, people will just know that they can determine their own health destiny far beyond what they've thought possible before.
Thank you again, Dr. Taub.
Thank you.
Edward Taub has been our guest this afternoon. If you're interested in what we've been talking about this afternoon, look for his book, Balance Your Body, Balance Your Life. It's available in paperback from Pocket Books. You'll also find Dr. Taub on the web at drtaub.com, and that's drtaub.com.